Heaven, huh, guys? Amen. Oh, man, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We'll have perfect pitch, too, huh? Joyful noise, right? Joyful noise. You know, just as a side note, you know, think about the worship that happened when the angels appeared to the shepherds out in the field. Think about that. You know, all the concerts that we've gone to, you know, where we've seen bands play, whether it be secular or Christian, whatever the case might be, the very best that's out there. We're talking the host of heaven just, you know, breaks forth and praising God. And man, the shepherds, the lowly shepherds, had the best concert ever on this earth. One day we're going to be able to participate in that. Man, look forward to that. So great. It's been great spending time with you guys already this weekend. God's done a lot of work in my heart, and I'm sure in your hearts last night, as I kept waking up to you guys coming in late, you know, 1 hour, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, like Patrick's talking about, and but that's a good waking up too, you know, just hearing the men fellowship. That's just wonderful. Couple announcements. So Ted is going to pray for us when we break off. We're going to have breakfast at 8:15 this morning. Ted's going to come up and pray for the food, and then we'll have you guys go back to your tables, and then he'll start dismissing like he did yesterday. And I think that's about it. And forgive us, the worship team. We're going to sneak in as the very first group, just knock out our food, come back. We got to go over our songs real quick, so I apologize for cutting in line. I just want to get back over here. It's the bacon. It's the bacon. I confess. Yeah, something about carnitas, man, and a Mexican. It's just good stuff. So any kind of pork is awesome. It'd be really hard for me to be Jewish, man, I'll tell you. Hey, so this morning, guys, I just want to... The title of the message is called Taking a Stand for Jesus. Taking a Stand for Jesus. You know, when we think about men of courage, men of the Bible, and you think about guys like Joshua, you know, who go out and take the land as God encourages him. He goes and he takes the land for the Lord. You know, we think about men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, where they go into the fiery furnace, they take a stand for the Lord and they say, we're not bowing down to that idol. And they get thrown in the fiery furnace and they come out unscathed, ropes completely burned off. And as a matter of fact, we see the Lord in the midst of the fire with them. We see a guy like Daniel who taking a stand for the Lord once the decree is made that there be no prayer made to any kind of God. The Bible says that once he hears that that petition is being signed and is done with, he immediately goes back, opens his window, faces Jerusalem, and begins to pray. Boldness, man, courage. We think about David when he faced Goliath. When he comes up in the scene and everybody's afraid to go against Goliath, and he comes out and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? And all he does is just take up some stones, five smooth stones, and he only uses one and defeats Goliath. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another man who we might not think would be in the same category as these guys. Turn with me to Matthew. Actually, turn with me to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 42 and 43. But before we get to that scripture, I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 10. Jesus says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Very challenging words from our Lord. Whoever confesses me, I'll confess him. Whoever denies me, I will deny him. It's a challenge. You know, when I became a Christian back in 1991, I was challenged with the very scripture that says, where Jesus says, either you are for me or you are against me. Man, that cut to the heart. You know, I knew about Jesus. I knew about God. But I wasn't for him. I hadn't made that decision. I hadn't come to that crossroads in my life where I said, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you in my life, and I need you to be not only my Savior, but my Lord. And there's a big difference, guys. You know, there's a lot of guys who are out there, a lot of people who are out there who confess Jesus as their Savior, but all of a sudden it stops right there. And all of a sudden they become secret agents for Jesus. And they never make them their Lord. Never make Jesus their Lord. Because with that comes accountability. Accountability to the Lord. To walk in a way of righteousness as opposed to the way we used to do things. You guys remember before we were Christians, kind of life we lived? Man, we were messed up. And we're still messed up, but you know what? By God's grace, we're going in the right direction. We've been reconciled with God, and that's a great place to be. There's a peace that comes in our hearts, just totally overwhelms us. And man, I'm so thankful for that. I'd like to introduce you to a man of courage that we find here in Mark's Gospel. Chapter 15, verse 42. His name is Joseph of Arimathea. It says in verse 42, "Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus." Coming and taking courage. I see this gentleman, Joseph of Arimathea, as a man of courage. Laying everything aside, his position, his status, what people would think, and asked for the body of Jesus. He took courage and he asked for the body of Jesus. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, that the fear of man brings about a snare. Guys, we need to take that to heart, because it can absolutely cause death to the will of God in your life. It has for me, and I needed to come to a crossroad in my life where I had to confess Jesus as my Lord, not just my Savior. I remember a time when I was at work and I was just being really challenged in my faith. And things just started building up. And I feared man. I feared what man thought of me. You know, before I became a Christian, my whole goal was just to build relationships with people. Whether it be making cracks, jokes, whatever I needed to do just to fit in. And to have people and to feel that love come from people. That's what I craved. That's what I longed for. That's what I looked for. Coming from a broken family, you know, just messed up life, that kind of thing. Turning to become a Christian and accepting the Lord in my life, man, challenged me so many ways. But the biggest one was the fear of man. I just wanted to get along with everybody. Problem is, it gets in the way when you take a stand for Jesus. When you want to be obedient to God's word. God bless you. And this all kind of came to a crossroads in my life. When things just started coming down on me, and I was being challenged, and I was taking a step back. I was being challenged from the Lord to speak, to confess, and taking a step back, and it was just building up, and a lot of pressure was being built up on me. To the very point where I remember this one incident that came up where I found myself in a disagreement with a fellow stalker. I was just so overwhelmed already with just the issue of taking a stand for Jesus that I had to end up, we just kind of got into it. We ended up going into the office with the manager and sat down and discussed everything that was going on. And I'm trying to prove my point as to, you know, why we should be handling things a certain way. And the response from this individual was, maybe it's because of his religion, he's the way he is. And I tell you guys, that absolutely crushed me. It crushed me. Because I thought to myself, why don't you care about me? Why don't you love me? Why don't you, I've done everything, I've exhausted my efforts to try to get along with you and the rest of the world. But what does the Bible say about us as Christians? We're not of this world. You know, friendship with the world is a complete enmity with God. I mean, we're fighting against the Lord if we want to be friends with the world. We can't do it. There's no way. I remember leaving that meeting so crushed and in despair, I had to go all the way from one end of the warehouse to the very other end of the warehouse. Go into the restroom, and I began to cry. Gosh, just thinking about that just kind of gets to me a little bit. I absolutely just bawled my eyes out. But I remember right in the middle of that, the Lord was just speaking to me, man. He was just comforting me, encouraging me, bringing scriptures to my remembrance. And I remember looking up into the mirror as I was right in front of that sink, just bawling my eyes out. The Lord gave me courage. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror, and I said, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. I'm not going to deny you. I don't care what happens in my life. I will not deny you. Wiped tears off my eyes, and it was a major crossroad in my life where I finally said, I don't want this to happen anymore. And yeah, there have been trials. There have been temptations to back off. And there have been some times where I can't say I've been 100%. But the Lord's given me courage to evaluate what happened and to move forward. To take courage, move forward. And that's my encouragement for you this morning, that we would see a little bit from Joseph about how he took courage and asked for the body of Jesus. He was a prominent council member. He was, in one of the Gospels, it says that he was very rich. He was a religious leader. When we think about this story, and it says that he took courage, he wasn't always a man of courage. As a matter of fact, in one of the Gospels, it says that he was a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. That could really mess things up, guys, in our life. Again, just messing up what God wants to do in your life. His will being accomplished for us. So what is it? What are the things that changed inside Joseph's life? Because at risk was his position. At risk was him being a religious leader. His social status. Maybe that's what's going on in your life right now. And taking a stand for the Lord. What changed in his life that we can glean from? A.W. Tozer, and I paraphrase this, says that God is a God who makes something out of nothing. That's the kind of God we believe in, right? In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Everything that we see out here, it's one of the best things about being out here is we get to enjoy all of this. Get alone with the Lord. He's a God who makes something out of nothing. But he can't make anything out of us while our focus and our attention is making something. The driver's seat, we're in the driver's seat of making something of who we are. God wants to do that in your life. That's why you're up here, guys. He wants to make something out of you. But we have to get out of the way. We have to lay some things down. And for each one of you this morning, it's very personal and it's very evident. And the Holy Spirit's probably speaking to you right now of what that is. To be able to take that stand for Jesus. Joseph, he risked a lot of things. But like Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Actually, let's turn there real quick. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. He came to a point in his life, that crossroads that changed him forever. And I believe it was the cross. Now, no matter what we go through, guys, I encourage you, always go back to the cross, to the foot of the cross. It will clear things up. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. See how personal that became for Paul? He's just declaring this wonderful promise, but then all of a sudden it just becomes very personal for him, where he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe Joseph of Arimathea came to that point, that crossroads in his life where all he could see was the cross and what Jesus did for him. And everything changed. And there are going to be times, guys, where pressures of life, maybe your position, and wanting to take a stand for Jesus, things just start getting muddy in your mind. Confusion sets in. You don't know how to respond. Go to the cross. Go to the cross and everything will clear up. I remember one time being on the register and I'm ringing and God bless you. And there was just so much that was going on. Again, this was back in California. And just kind of feeling the pressures of being a Christian, trying to stand. I mean, I'm in a warehouse. I work for Costco. I'm in a warehouse of, close to 325 employees. And trying to take a stand in the midst of, you're thinking about the world that's out there and all the ugliness. And all of a sudden now it's being brought into a warehouse, confined to a place. And just kind of hanging out with all that garbage, the language, the actions, and just trying to be committed to the Lord. And just a lot of pressure, and I'm just ringing, and temptations come my way, and I'm just being broken down more and more and more. And I remember after I'm taking a break, and I'm walking away, and I'm just so discouraged and just beat up, and the Lord reminded me of the cross. He reminded me of the cross as I was walking out the building for my 15-minute break, and as he did, he just gave me this clear picture of Jesus on the cross, and I tell you, everything completely cleared out. And my heart was encouraged because it reminded me of his love for me. And it helped me to move forward, gave me clarity. Joseph of Arimathea clearly saw Jesus on that cross. And it changed his life forever. Brought clarity and said, you know what? He's my Savior and he's my Lord. The Bible says that he went to Pilate and he asked for the body of Jesus. Man, what a stand he was taking. You got to realize that as a religious leader, that he's basically given up his position or being able to celebrate the Sabbath. This is a day of preparation. By asking for the body of Jesus and actually handling a dead body, he can't celebrate the Sabbath now. He disqualifies himself, according to the Old Testament. He was willing to sacrifice that. Committing social suicide as a rich man by asking for the body of Jesus. Jesus was poor. He hung out with the poor, hung out with sinners. That social status, he's given it all up. Saying, you know what? I want the body of Jesus. I want to honor my Lord. And he asks. If you turn with me back there to Mark's gospel, James tells us to be doers of God's word, not just hearers only. And when God speaks to your heart, we need to respond. We need to take that step of faith. That's when change happens in our lives. We don't rationalize it. We don't try to figure it out. We just hear God's word and we take a step of faith and be doers of God's word. And that's what happened with Joseph. Once he saw the cross, everything was clear. It says in verse 46, then he bought fine linen. He took him down and wrapped him in linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Think about just in that verse 46, all the things that he did there. The sacrifice. The commitment. All this is him. He did this. He bought the fine linen. He paid the money for that. He's the one who took him down. Gosh, can you imagine taking Jesus down from the cross? How would that impact your life? He's the one who wrapped him. He wrapped him in fine linen. He's the one who took the tomb that was already dedicated probably for himself. It says that it was hewn out of stone. The effort, the time, the money to have that accomplished and says, you know what, I'm giving that up. The amazing part about this is that in responding to the Spirit and requesting the body of Jesus, not only did he take that step of faith and it caused courage to enter his heart, but in doing so, all of a sudden, here he is fulfilling Scripture. Where Jesus, it says in Isaiah that Jesus, that Jesus was buried among the rich. That wouldn't have happened had he not responded to the Holy Spirit. You know, in Ephesians it tells us that we were created for good works before the foundations of the world, that we should walk in them. Guys, God's had you on his mind for a long time. We need to recognize that. When we begin to gather all this information from God's word, we begin to realize, wow, God loves us so much that he's prepared so many things for us. But we need to take that step of faith. We need to take courage as Joseph of Arimathea did in asking for the body of Jesus. And in doing so, all of a sudden, boom, we're right in the perfect will of God. Right now, you're in the perfect will of God. You realize that, right? This is where God wants you to be. He wants to speak to you, each and every one of your hearts, right where you're at, that you might be changed forever, that you might go down from this mountain totally changed and with the courage of faith in your hearts. What is it then that's keeping you from taking courage in that one area of your life? You know, I became a Christian and God has delivered me instantly from cursing. I dropped the F-bomb left and right at work, guys. I participated in so much ugliness. I thank God for that. I remember there was one incident, and I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, I don't know if you ever did this, and forgive me if, you know, before I was a Christian, I used to joke around with some of the guys at my work, and we used to do this gay thing. Hey, baby, how you doing? I think every guy's ever did that. What's going on, honey? Hey, sweetie. It was stupid. It was stupid acts we used to do. And I used to do that with this one gentleman. And he was an older guy. And I remember that when I became a Christian, God spoke very clearly. He says, you need to knock that off. You need to stop doing that. Now, it might be different for you guys. It might be something else. But that challenge came to me, and the Lord said, you need to stop that, and you need to tell that gentleman. And so, sure enough, I was a spotter, which is someone who would walk in front of a forklift, make sure everything was safe. And he was a forklift driver, older guy. And we had to go out to the floor, and as soon as we got out onto the floor, I started walking, telling people, hey, step to the side, forklift coming through. It was the first thing he says, hey, baby, how you doing? How's everything going, sweetie pie? And then as soon as we came to a stop, I said, hey, Brad, I can't do that anymore. Can't do that. Well, why not? What's going on? I became a Christian. You became what? I became a Christian. And God doesn't want me to participate in those things anymore, and I just can't talk to you like that anymore. I'm sorry. He's like, oh, that's all right. That's cool, man. He says, just don't get too into it. You know, it's the world. You know, they just don't understand. I got too into it. What, you're going on Wednesdays? What goes on Wednesdays? You sacrificing chickens on Wednesdays or what? What's this whole religious thing? Sunday is for church. Thursday nights, you're meeting with men on Thursday nights? Oh man, life changed. Crossroads in your life. Taking a stand for Jesus. That's what you're up here for, guys. You need to realize it and be open. Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. He will speak to you. Maybe it's concerning your job and taking a stand there. Maybe it's your family members, taking a stand for Jesus with your family members and encouraging them and sharing Jesus with them. Maybe it's a friend, a neighbor. Some of them might receive it. Some of them might reject you. When I became a Christian, my very best man, the name is Mario Flores. I goofed around all the time at Costco. I became a Christian. I asked him to be my best man at my wedding. Probably about 3 weeks before my wedding, he jumped ship and said, I can't go. Can't do it. Man, I tell you, it just bummed me out. But you know what? That's all right. Because the very guy who led me to the Lord, my brother-in-law, Jack, the Lord spoke and said, that's the guy you need to ask. Because he's going to be with you forever. Closer than a brother, closer than a friend. He is going to be the guy I'm putting in your life. And he was. He was my best man. I blew him away by asking him because I barely knew him. You know, I didn't like the guy, as a matter of fact, right before I became a Christian. But that's the love of God. That's the love of God. Maybe it's a neighbor that you're going to be sharing with, taking a stand. Somebody that you just have a hard time with. Keeps parking in your spot in front of your house all the time. Man, it drives me crazy. Maybe you got to lay that aside and preach Jesus and share the love of God. Then we need to take courage, like Joseph, and act as the Lord speaks, just as he did, and be a doer of God's word. And God will forever change your heart. God will forever change our hearts. But like Joseph, we got to look to the cross, man. That's where it ends, and that's where it begins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, just for this small time of devotion, just to get into your word. Just think about Joseph and how he took courage and went before Pilate. Now that's just amazing to me. It just blows me away that he would lay everything aside and then go before a governor where, as he associates himself with Jesus by just asking for the body, gosh, Pilate could have easily said, you're next, buddy. You're going on that cross. He was willing to lay everything down his entire life. Lord, we pray that that you would increase our faith this morning to take a stand for Jesus, to live for him, to die to our flesh and allow your perfect will to be fulfilled in our lives. And this morning I pray for the men who are here that are at that crossroad in life, that need to forsake themselves, that need to forsake the cares of this world, that need to resist the devil, to humble their hearts and pursue after you and take a stand for you, Lord. That Jesus, you might reign, you might rule in their hearts, in my heart. Lord, we submit to you this morning. We humble ourselves. Lord, have mercy upon us. May your grace be poured out upon our lives. Thank you for what you've already done and what you're going to do. And just continue by your Holy Spirit, remind us of what you've done, the great love in which you loved us by dying on that cross for our sins, that we might have your righteousness. Thank you for that hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.